Small business, big advice. Welcome to the Very Good Marketing Podcast, where small business owners, employees, or just marketing fanatics can learn how to grow a business on a budget without wasting any money.
Welcome to the Very Good Marketing Podcast. My name is Shannon and I am here with small business marketing consultant and expert Amy Miosevich. And today we're going to talk about how to take action once you've identified your marketing goals and how to turn strangers into a visitor.
Perfect. Thank you, Shannon. So first of all, welcome back. We've taken a little bit of a break over Christmas. Now we're pretty excited to finish off what we started at the end of last year, which was how you can turn a stranger into a visitor. So just to do a quick recap, we're actually in the particular bottleneck at the moment of turning strangers into visitors, which is often the very last thing a business will tackle once they have fixed and proved, identified any other bottlenecks in their marketing system, and they're really working on how to build the volume of people that are actually starting as strangers and going through to becoming their biggest fans. So what we talked about last time was we've gone through the three parts to attracting strangers to your company, and we've talked a little bit about the marketing message. Yeah. We've also talked about how to identify your best marketing channel. So what I want to talk about today is actually taking action. The reason I want to talk about it is because there is a really big gap between theory and action. And I think especially for micro businesses and small businesses who are really just learning about all this theory, there's a lot of technical skill involved in actually bringing these things to life. And there are so many times that even myself personally have a really great plan in place, but what do they say? Like, an action without a plan is just a dream.
Yeah.
Is that the expression?
Something like that. It seems familiar.
Yeah. So it's that taking action bit that's sometimes really hard. And we all struggle with, I guess, bringing a plan to life. And in this instance, I want to make sure that you've got the right ingredients for taking a plan like we've just been creating and bringing it to life. So that's why this particular section is called action. So there's a really interesting story that's kind of, I get unfolded over the last few weeks, which is some of the conversations I've been having with large marketing partners and marketing agencies. And a lot of the conversations we've been having are around taking action and around how there's a bit of a reliance on agencies and marketing partners or marketing experts to come up with not only the strategy but the taking action part. And it's kind of the whole responsibility of an external partner to do this. And when it comes to small business marketing and micro business marketing and everything we've been talking about, this line between coming up with an idea and taking action goes a little bit further, I think, than just the idea side that I think we still need to be in ownership of. So when it comes to something like designing a marketing channel for implementation, so the example that we're going to talk about today is to do with influencer marketing, but in an example where you may be organizing a trade show, a small business owner, founder, someone internal may still need to come up with the action plans required to bring it to life, but not necessarily physically design the trade show artwork or the physical brochure, but having the high level actions in place so that the best outcome comes forward, so you know who to partner with, you know what instructions to give them. That's what I think taking action is all about. And there can still be engagement with marketing professionals and marketing providers, but as owners, founders, I guess as the people that know the most about, you know, your business, you should still be owning a bit more of the action than I think you may realize you need to. But it is hard, and it is hard to figure out how an action plan looks and whether you use a flow chart or a waterfall diagram or
I think action is also where things get a little bit scary. For even personally, we've talked about cognitive dissonance. That's what it reminds me of, because it's like ideas are really, they're not tangible. Like, you can have all the ideas in the world, and it's like the risk comes in when you start to act on those ideas and taking the leap and I guess having the guts to believe in your ideas and fully invest in it. And it's investing time, it's investing money. I guess you have to really believe in it. And I think that that's the scary part of having an action plan and taking action, is that it's making those ideas tangible, which takes it takes risk.
Yeah, and guts, you know, and you don't know whether you're on the right track, and how would you even know? You don't know anything about TikTok. So how would you even bring a strategy to life? And that's what I want to talk about now, because if there's something that you can take away from this episode, I want it to be the confidence in actually taking steps towards reaching your goals. And that's what this whole thing should be about, because you're not going to be able to hit the goals you really want to hit unless you have confidence in your ability to implement a marketing strategy, I think. So there's a couple pieces into this action plan that I like to talk about. I actually spoke to someone the other day about what they use for managing tasks. And I said, oh, well, you probably just use a Kanban board. And then they said, yeah, or maybe a Tango board, and had a bit of a laugh. And I was like, does not everyone use Kanban boards? So I think there's a bigger discussion about how we personally like to manage our own priorities. So this could just be a high level kind of framework that you can kind of write down or not use or consider anyway. But what I really like to encourage, I guess, our clients to do, and what I really would like you to do, is create like a bit of a table that breaks down the tasks involved in where you are today and implementing one of these channels that we talked about last week. Or a couple weeks ago. So it's the task in question that needs to be done, the due date, the purpose of it, what the outcome will be, what tools you might need, and any sub actions that need to occur. So again, we're still playing, you know, in the sky, it's high level stuff, but there may be multiple versions of these tasks or a sequence of these tasks that need to happen in order to bring something to life. So we have an example. And I don't know, would you like to introduce the example? So this is an example of something that's happening at the moment for one of our projects.
Mm-hmm. So one of our clients, I think, has done a bit more traditional marketing. They have relied on print advertising in magazines and attendance at trade shows to, I guess, build their brand awareness and to make sure that they're networking with all the right people and things like that. So that's what they're familiar with. And we're introducing a little bit of a new concept for them, which is influencer marketing. And we're trying to, I guess, get them on board with influencer marketing. And it's so different from what they're used to. And it's a completely different format. And they have to put their trust in these random people that they've never heard of. And, you know, sometimes I think the demographic you're dealing with a client. So you've got general managers or maybe marketing managers or you know, whoever it is in the client space, and then you're trying to sell them on this demographic that is completely different.
Yeah, and we did actually talk about that, I think, last time, was the biases that we hold to the marketing methods or channels that we personally are familiar with will often impact our decisions when it comes to the business.
Definitely. So they're familiar with these old school advertisements in magazines that no one's reading, and that's where they think the value is for their money. But
I guess we went through that investigation process and we opened up that bullseye framework, and we kind of picked different elements of marketing and different channels they could explore, and this was kind of the one that they were happy to tackle next.
Yes. Yeah. So I guess, I don't know how far into that you want me to go, but what we have done is we've sort of come up with a list of influencers in their space.
Okay, so why don't we head back like just one step? That was that's probably the very first task that we, I guess, we've built in terms of how we go from where they are now, which is no influencer strategy. We've done the investigation and now we want to kind of bring it to life. So the first task, like you just said, is actually coming up with a list of all these different influencers that are part of, I guess, the industries and places that the target market spends their time. And one of the interesting things about influencer marketing is we're trying to pinpoint where their target market spends time and who they follow, not necessarily within their industry. So there's been quite a lot of interesting stuff there where we go, okay, well, this particular client has a luxury product, and even though the luxury product is in a certain industry, it doesn't mean that their clients are only consuming content from influencers in that industry. A luxury product can fall under many different categories. So the first task that we kind of captured was actually doing the research. So tell me what was involved or what is involved in that particular task.
So for us, I guess we would start by looking at For me, I started to look at influencers within the industry, and then I kind of branched out from there. So I guess I cast quite a narrow net to start with. And then from there, it's sort of, I don't know. My process also could be completely different to anyone else's. I guess for me, it's easier to really be specific and then to sort of let the... It's like a ripple effect. That's what I'm trying to think of.
Yeah.
It's like you have like a really specific target, but then you kind of grow outwards and outwards and outwards.
Yeah.
And so looking at the different influencers, looking at the type of content they would put out, looking at the audiences that they're trying to attract for their own content, if they've done any partnerships or sponsored deals or anything like that in the past, looking at their followership, looking at how many followers, how much engagement they get on their posts, things like that, and then compiling all of that research. So making sure that it's all in an accessible place, either in a table or in a document where we can present it to the client, or the client can have a copy of it and they can see
what
they're looking at and who they would like, because we might present 15, 20 different influencers and they might want to start with approaching maybe like two or three.
Yeah, and I think that in the instance, in this particular scenario, what's happened is we've sat with the client and they've said, well, what's the next step if we want to introduce this? And they've had us, I guess, as a partner in this exercise. But if you're tackling this project on your own and you go, okay, well, the first step is to clearly do the research and find out who's out there. Mm-hmm. This could be something that you don't tackle. So you might go out and find an agency partner like us, and you might, you know, ask Shannon to do that work for you. Or you might find a virtual assistant that can do it. You might find another agency online, particular influencer agency that does the research. So in this instance, we were employed to perform that particular task, but that is definitely the first task that we've identified as part of that process. So tell me more about the second task in this process.
So the next task, once we've identified which influencers we would like to approach, we will contact them and see what their prices are, how much they charge, what they want in return, because no one does anything for free. So whether they want payment or whether they want...
In this instance, I would have done that project for free given their luxury product.
Yes, and that's another option, is they might just want a sample or an experience that the company might offer.
Yep.
So I think like for step two, it's sort of figuring out what they want and what fits with your budget. Whether that's financial or whether you're giving a product away for free or whatever that looks like for your business and your product.
Yeah. And I mean, these two steps on their own, they're actually not very hard, but suddenly we're halfway through this particular process of bringing something to life. And so when you really break down the actions involved, they're not super complicated, but now you have all the tools and resources ready at your disposal to actually start taking action. So tell me about task three.
Task three. So once you've identified the influencers that work with your budget and you've kind of settled on a price and you're keen to take the next step, I would say the next step would be to book something in. So to start scheduling, so for this particular client, it would probably be scheduling some filming or maybe some photography and something a bit more visual.
Yes.
So we would need to start planning when they're available, when we can get somebody to provide the service. It's really hard to like dance around what you're talking about. But you would make sure all of those ducks are in a row and you would lock in a date and a time.
Yeah. And for this particular kind of channel, I suppose, obviously the talent's a big part of it, but you reach other things, other opportunities for collaboration. So you've got the talent, but then maybe you need a videographer, maybe you need a photographer, maybe you need someone to do hair and makeup. Like, this is kind of that process where you're really bringing it to life, and there are lots of sub actions mm-hmm. within the task to make those decisions. So they also influence the budget a bit as well. So I mean, hopefully, and we did during that investigation, we'd recognized kind of what kind of things would need to be put in place. But as I guess we've worked through this third task, we've really seen what the real numbers are going to be.
Mm-hmm. And I think along the way, like, you might need to still justify the cost. So a client that's used to more traditional forms of marketing and advertising might see the cost of an influencer video and freak out a little bit.
Yeah,
and think,
oh my gosh, true too.
Why am I paying this random person to come and experience my service or buy my product when I've never done that before? But I think, and this is kind of how we positioned it for this particular client, is you can tally up how much spend has has already been done on advertising and trade show attendance. And when you really list everything that goes into creating an ad or attending a trade show, especially trade show if it's not in the city where that business is based.
Travel.
There's travel. You've got to pay for your staff to attend. You have to pay for
design,
food, drink, accommodation while they're there. It's a very expensive endeavor.
And you might have the same reach. Like some of these trade shows have 20,000 attendees, whereas some of these influencers might have 20 million followers. Like it's, I mean, I think people just underestimate the power that a really good influencer can have.
Yeah. And I think, again, like demographic really does come into it. And I think for people our age and our generation, we have seen influencer marketing start.
Yeah, definitely.
And we've seen the growth and how influential it has been for especially certain industries.
Yeah.
Whereas people who are from an older generation, it's so foreign. And they're not necessarily playing in the space. I mean, for me personally, if I think of influencer marketing and if I think of a huge success story of influencer marketing, I think of makeup because that's something that, you know, my demographic, I'm a 27-year-old female, like that's an area that I play in. So I think of YouTubers and I think of big brand deals, big brand trips, but that's not something that a, you know, 57-year-old male CFO might be familiar with.
Yeah. And I think I like to liken it to like brand ambassadorship. I've heard, I mean, even from those clients before, they've talked about celebrity ambassadors. And I think they don't realize that in today's world,
it's the same thing.
It's the same kind of thing. So that kind of budget exploration can, and it has seemed quite overwhelming. But in terms of that third task, we've kind of already committed to the process. I mean, they can, you know, you can change your mind at any point once you start going through the task, like, you know, that action plan. But I guess that's kind of what we were hoping would be eliminated in that the stage before, which is when we investigated all the marketing channels. So we've kind of committed to this. We're going through the process. We've identified kind of a bit of a schedule over the next 3 months of who's going to come on board and what kind of activities are going to be done. And then there's the actual filming. So that was kind of task four, was actually the execution.
Yes.
After the planning.
Yeah.
So tell me a bit about what that looks like and what kind of sub actions are involved in actually planning out the execution.
So it probably looks different depending on what the deal is, but for this particular client, it would be an experience. This influencer might go and experience the service that this client provides. So we would probably want to create a little bit of a timeline of what this, let's say it's a video shoot, timeline of what this video might show, might storyboard some ideas. This is probably a bit before step four, to be honest, but on the day.
No, you're right. No. I mean, you're
I'm thinking okay. Like step four, if that's on the day, then we're probably not storyboarding.
I think it's more within that task. Within that task, the outcomes will have been storyboarded. So we know what outcomes we're looking for after that day. So in the sense of an influencer campaign, it's thinking about the what you get after that day of filming or photography or whatever it is. It's thinking about what you actually want from that day or from those days. And those are the outcomes. So those would have been, or we would be storyboarding those to make sure that we don't leave the premises without having that particular amount of content captured. So that's, I guess, a really important part as well. It's like it's being really, really clear that, yes, you do have actions, but make sure those actions have outcomes that you're targeting. So we did talk, and I'm not sure if we spoke about it on the podcast or whether that was something that that we've been talking about recently. Things like trade shows or events, networking events, seminars, all that kind of stuff, if they fall into a marketing context, sometimes the action of going seems like you've done the task, but the mindset needs to shift where, okay, if you're going to a trade show, going isn't the task. Going is the vehicle that's going to get you the outcomes that you're actually paying for. So you're not paying for a trade show. You're paying for 50 leads that you've got at that trade show. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the mindset shift, is we're not paying an influencer. We're paying for 6 pieces of content that are going to be seen by 2 million people. Like that's what we're paying for. So a lot of the time, if we don't really think about these outcomes in terms of what we're paying for and what this whole thing is about, then we lose the impact and we may even end up with something we don't actually want. Mm-hmm. So that is a really important one. We spend a lot of time storyboarding or planning for the outcome. So we make sure that that's going to be what happens. And you can do that as well. I mean, this kind of planning, this is all kind of laid out. I guess this is laid out in my book. This will be available as a worksheet as well that you can download from our website. So this is the kind of planning that will make sure you never actually miss a dollar in this space and you really focus on what you want to achieve. So we've kind of done, we've done the research, we've done the planning, we've done the filming. Tell me what's going to happen once this stuff has taken place. So in this instance, we've worked with the influencer. What is the task once they have sent us the content?
So we would need to compile it. We would need to make sure that we have, because if you're filming, you're just going to get a package of videos. So you need to cut all those videos together and create 6 individual pieces of content that are ready to go into your plan.
And in our instance, just to be frank, we wouldn't be assembling this content. So as part of the plan, we've recognized with this client that another third party is going to be involved, and that'll be the videographer and their editing team.
So that would all be compiled into the individual pieces of content. And then once that content has been created, we would do a review stage where we make sure that that content looks exactly how we want it to achieve the goals for the client. The client would probably have a review of that content to make sure it's doing what they want it to do. And then with influencers, and this is really funny because I actually haven't done this stage with influencers. But would you send it to the influencer for them to undertake a review?
It just depends on who it is. And this is, I don't know how familiar everyone is with influencing marketing, but there are different ways of undertaking an influencer marketing campaign. A lot of the time, if they're a higher level influencer, they basically create the content and they post it and they tell you that's just what you get. Sometimes they'll let you review it. In other instances, depending on what the commercial agreement is, then like we're doing in this case, is we would be filming the content with them as the talent, and we would then assemble all the content. You're right. They would have to approve it, but also it depends on what you're doing with that content. So in this instance, that the client will be, they will be posting the content to their channels because we're after the reach. But other content that we capture that we don't encourage them to post, we would use as user generated content, and we would use as ads, and we would run ads and influencer generated content, or UGC, as you might have heard. That's content that's created by your everyday person, and it's just used as part of your own, I guess, social validation and in ad campaigns and things, like a bit of a testimonial. So in this instance, you know, that's how it would roll out. We would have extra content, but then they would also post some of that content with their approval. Other times, depending on influencers, you may create the opportunity for them to do, and this isn't what we're doing with this client, but there's the opportunity to do like a bounty model where they become an ambassador for your brand. They record the content, post the content, and it's their responsibility to post it as many times as possible because they might get a commission based on how many products they sell. So they'll often get like a code, a discount code, and then that's attached to purchases, and then you pay them an amount based on how much they sell. So normally in a contract, you'd have something like that in place. You'd have something in place where they would film the content and post it once, and you're paying for one piece of content. So the spread is a little bit more limited. Or there's the situation where we get to keep the content, we own the content, we can use it as much as we like. So there are lots of different ways of executing this particular plan, and you may need help from a specialist if you're going down that route, or there's so many articles and information online. And even if you don't know how to tackle it, normally the influencer will be able to guide you through what their options are, because not everyone will offer all three of these things. And there are some third-party platforms for influencer marketing as well. There's Tribe is a good one. There's like a real, some real one. I'll have to...
My memory turned
off.
Cool. Today.
Yeah. I'll have to put a link to some of them. But there are some third-party ones where you actually browse a list of potential influencers. You can look at their like stats, and then you can contact them through the platform, and it kind of facilitates it for you. So that's kind of the filming part. That's the post-filming part. And then really what the last task will be in some scenarios would be using it and then measuring the impact. So tell me a bit about how you might be able to reflect on this whole process and what kind of feedback you'd be looking for.
So for influence marketing and for this particular client, it might not reflect in number of purchases or number of visitors to the website even, but you might be able to measure this kind of influencer marketing in terms of reach or engagement or the amount of interactions you've had with a post. If you do attach a link, say it's a LinkedIn post and there's a link attached to it, you might get visitors to your website. So
yeah,
depending on what the content is, depending on the platform you use, the return will be quite, it'll be quite different and the measurables will be quite different.
Yeah.
And I think something we're doing for this particular client is shifting the thinking from, you know, the only return on the investment can be in the form of leads and purchases.
Yeah,
leads. We're shifting that perspective and trying to frame it so that they understand that having, I don't know, 20,000 people view a video,
for them, it's part of their overall engagement strategy. Mm-hmm. So attracting strangers to the brand itself is, I guess, what this is about.
Which is the same value that attending a trade show would have or having an ad in a magazine.
Yeah. It's just a different medium.
You don't necessarily know whether 20,000 people have viewed that particular ad in that magazine. You might know that 20,000 people have bought it or subscribed, but you don't necessarily know that they've seen it. And you don't necessarily know that people have visited your website as a result of seeing that magazine or seeing your stand at a trade show. So it does take a bit of a re-education process. The measurables from this type of marketing are just as valuable as the measurables from
something else, traditional method. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think one of the hardest bits about creating a campaign that you've never done before, which will be the case for a lot of small businesses, which is the case for this client, is that you can ask for help and you can look online and you can kind of work your way through it. I mean, we don't know how to do a lot of the stuff that I guess this particular campaign we've never done before, but we've sought advice and we've kind of learnt along the way. And that's kind of shaped our whole action plan by doing that upfront. But we did that in the investigation stage as well. Remember that our recommendation in the investigation stage is to actually come up with like a plan to bring it to life. So we kind of knew high level what would need to be involved. But if you are getting stuck, and that's one of the things I'd like to talk about, if you are getting stuck identifying what the steps are, a really good way is to work backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So in this instance, we knew that we were going to be, you know, we'd have content, we'd be measuring the content would be out there to our target audience. And we kind of know that, I guess, pushing out high quality content via influencer channels, via our own channel is kind of where we want to end up with. So working backwards, we know, okay, well, we have to have the content in our hands. We have to film the content. We have to plan the content. We have to find the influencers and, I guess, lock in the project.
Mm-hmm.
We have to research who they are. And then that leads us back to today. So if you work backwards or forwards from a plan, it should really help you create this action strategy that's going to make the whole thing seem a little bit less overwhelming, but also it gives you a great starting point. And from there, pick one and work out, okay, well, when would you like to have it done by? What's the purpose of it? What outcome do you want from that one task? What are the objectives of that task? Is it going to help you get to the next task? And then any sub actions involved and who you might need to help you with it, or what tools you may need to get the task done. So it is really quite an extensive planning process, but it's so essential, I think, for you to feel, or for any business owner to feel, like they've got a bit more of a grip on any strategy. So in this instance, yes, we're helping out this client in a marketing context, but that doesn't mean that you can't find that particular help. This client may have done it themselves. Nothing that we did was extraordinary.
We collaborate with the client on, they live and breathe in this industry. So they are aware of the players and the people that,
More so than us, actually. There were some suggestions made that we'd never heard of before at all.
They've done that networking from attending trade shows and from being in the industry. So they know who to contact, and they've given us some great value, contacts to start with.
Yeah.
So, if you're in that space, this is your knowledge and you do have that experience. So you've also got to trust what you know as well.
Definitely.
And have the faith in yourself and what you know and
Yeah.
And take a leap.
You can bring it to life. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you've brought everything to life so far. It's just because it's slightly different to the stuff that you do, you know, that's your craft, doesn't mean that you won't be able to make your way through it. So I think that's a really great place to end. Mm-hmm. We've kind of covered the marketing to visitors, other strangers to visitors part of our marketing system. So hopefully if that was your bottleneck, you've got a bit of an overview now on how you can work your marketing message. You can pick a channel and you can kind of go through, create the tasks and bring it to life. Now, remember that if you do get to the end of this process and it hasn't kind of hit the objectives that you want, this isn't the right channel for you. You can keep it and keep going with it, but realistically, it's about canning it and moving on to something else. So the only thing that you don't want to do is try six things at once, because that really has too many variables in play, especially if it's a brand awareness mm-hmm. campaign. The other thing it'll do is it'll kind of spread your attention really thin, which is something we have talked about as well. But it's a really, really surefire, smooth way of tackling this front end of your marketing system with a lot of deliberation and with a really great result. So next time we record a podcast, we are going to be talking about turning visitors into leads, and this is going to be a lot about your website. So you'll have to tune into the next episode.
Yeah, definitely. Great. Well, thanks, Amy.
Thanks, Shannon.